Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome. All right, here we are. Thursday. Every day, you know, the days have a tendency to come and go. Yesterday was Wednesday. Yeah. Which means, of course, that today is Thursday. And it always happens that way. Day after day, alone on a hill. Yes, day after day, día tras día. Day after day, alone on a hill, day after day. Alone on a hill. Yes. It's by the Beatles, The Fool on the Hill, El Tonto en la Colina. Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still, but nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the world spinning round. Interesting song. I don't think the Beatles wrote that song. I don't think so. That song was written, yes it was. It was written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney. It's an interesting song. And it's one of the early, it's in their early period. They wrote this song probably in 1964, 1963, 64, or at the latest, como más tarde, at the latest, perhaps 1965. Fool, the Fool on the Hill. And it's an interesting song. Yes. Can you find that, Nacho? The Fool on the Hill, de los Beatles. Día tras día, day after day. Yes, sir. Alone on a Hill. And I think it's Paul McCartney who sings it. And it's a McCartney-style song. Even though John Lennon and Paul McCartney shared the authorship, autoría, of their songs, you can usually tell which one was basically written by which one. Do you have it? The Fool on the Hill. Let's hear it for a moment. Espera, vamos a esperar. Esta no es la canción. Esta no, no. No, this is not it. This is not it. Is it by the Beatles? The Beatles. All right, put it on again. Let's try it. Obviously.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still, but nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool, and he never gives an answer, but the fool on the hill sees the sun going down, and the eyes in his head see the
well on the way. Okay, that's Paul McCartney singing. An early Paul McCartney, probably 1964 or 65. The Fool on the Hill, day after day, and here, I come here every single day of the working week, and I do this program very early in the morning. It's 7:35 in the morning. It's still dark outside. But probably in the nine cities where we broadcast, there are probably, I don't know, maybe 4 million people sitting in their cars right now, going to work. And of those 4 million people, how many are listening to us right now? Maybe 300,000, 200,000. maybe 10%, no, maybe 5% of the people. So if there are 4 million people right now in their cars going to work in Madrid, Valladolid, Vigo, Santander, Bilbao, Zaragoza, Barcelona, Valencia, and Alicante, maybe there are 200,000 people right now listening to this program. So, day after day, yes, sir, here we are, back together again. But in any case, I have a few announcements, as usual. Como de costumbre, as usual. And the announcement, most important, at least the most immediate announcement, is this coming Saturday, the 22nd of February, I will be in Colegio Estudiantes del Calle Fromista, número uno, en las tablas al norte de Madrid. At 12:15, 12:15 de la mañana. Bueno, en inglés se dice el mediodía. 2:15 in the afternoon. Excuse me, 12:15. 12, ojo, 12:15, no 12:15. At 12:15, for an hour and 15 minutes until 1:30, I will give a master class in English. In English, by the way, if you don't know English, you can come and listen to me, but you will not understand. Although I will sprinkle some Spanish in. De vez en cuando hablaré Spanglish. Yes, during the hour and a quarter. And so that's in Las Tablas. It's a very nice school. Very big. Very, very good, very nice facilities. So join me this coming Saturday. The day after tomorrow, right? The day after tomorrow, because today is the 20th, right, Nacho? Today is the 20th. I think so. Nacho's in Babia. Okay. Babia is located in, I think Babia is located in Asturias or León. I think Babia is in the north of León, in la zona de Bembibre, in there, El Bierzo. I don't know. ¿Dónde está Babia? Where is Babia? We can find out. Babia is in León. All right. Bobby, is una comarca de la provincia de León? Yes, sir. It's el macizo de las Ubiñas, con Peñubiña a la cabeza, está en Babia. And Nacho está en Babia ahora. Yeah. Yeah, now he's looking. We've been talking about you, Nacho. Huh? And we've been comparing, we've been talking about la comarca de Babia. All right, and Nacho estaba cerca de las Ubiñas hasta hace un momento. Now he's back. He's back. And I forgot. I asked you something and I forgot what it was now because I got sidetracked on the idea of Babia. But in any case, this coming Saturday. Ah, yes. The question is, today is the 20th, I believe, right? Yes, today is the 20th. And so that means the day after tomorrow is the 22nd. And in the Colegio Estudiantes Calle Fromista número uno, creo, de las Tablas. 12:15 in the morning, join me, and you can get, I think you can get information in grupovagon.com/eventos, crew, okay, check it out, yes, míralo, check it out. All right, are you ready to do some, I came to Spain because I didn't have a good job in my country. Why did you come to Spain? I came to Spain because I didn't have a good job in my country. If I had had a good job in my country, I might not have come to Spain. I might not, es posible que no. O a lo mejor no habría venido. I might not. Si es más definitivo, si hubiera tenido un buen trabajo ahí, seguro que no habría venido, entonces no decimos might. I think it would. If I had had a good job in the States initially, I wouldn't have come. Eso ya definitivo, definitive. I wouldn't have come. But I'm not so sure because at that age, I was 22. And at 22, what's important is a job that is intellectually stimulating in which you learn. Not necessarily how much money you make at the age of 22, unless you're making a million. But no, I might not have come if I had had a good job. I came to Spain because my parents weren't ill at the time. If my parents had been ill at that time, I wouldn't have come here. I came to Spain because I didn't have a serious relationship with a girl in the States. If I had had, at that time, en aquel entonces, if I had had a serious relationship with a girl in the U.S., I might not have come to Spain. I might not have come serious, eh? But I was 22. But nevertheless, in my generation, many people got married at the age of 22 and before. I would say maybe 10% of my schoolmates from my graduating class. Graduating class is mi promoción, en este caso de secundaria, de bachillerato. Probably 10% of my graduating class got married before the age of 20. Maybe more. It was common back then. It was common. Because of the, I think about 700 kids graduated with me. There were about 2,000 students or 2,100 students in my high school. My high school consisted of 3 years, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And there were about 2,100, about 700 kids per grade. And so my graduating class consisted of, consistía de, it's anything, no consistía en. So my graduating class consisted of maybe 700 people. And I would almost bet that 100 of those 700 were married before turning 20. Because these kids, probably half of them, didn't go on to the university. Maybe 300 of them started working immediately in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in something. And they got married. It here in Spain, la idea del noviazgo is a long, long time. 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. De novios. And that in the States, in my generation, never. Never. That was crazy. When you make a decision that you want to get married, you get married. Si hemos decidido que nos queremos casar, pues entonces, ¿cuándo? Pues el mes próximo. And so their engagement, what we call engagement, que es el noviazgo formal de prometidos, could last 7 months, maybe. Probably if you say, what's the average? Now I really don't know, but I think it's probably similar. But a lot of people live together now and don't get married. But in my generation, when you made the decision and you began your engagement, it was a question of maybe five. I would guess that the average engagement time was maybe 5 months. Often the bride's family needed time to prepare the wedding, and that was it. The wedding and the wedding reception. We say wedding reception para la fiesta de boda después de la ceremonia. Aquí suele ser una cena, una comida. But in the States, often it's not. It's simply having cocktails and things to have a reception. All right, I came to Spain because I was looking for adventure. If I hadn't been looking for adventure, I wouldn't have come to Spain. It wasn't true that I was looking for adventure. Because for me, life offers adventure. Staying in Oklahoma, I would have found enough adventure, the concept. So I was just restless, inquieto, do things. Yeah, go to Spain, why not? Si en el tablón de anuncios habría dicho Francia, pues a lo mejor habría ido a Francia en vez de España. However, I knew Spanish when I was 18, 19. I didn't know French. But if I had seen an offer to spend 1 year in Paris studying, I would have probably said yes and then taken private French classes to get my French up to a decent, a minimum level. But to do stuff, you just do things. Life, you only live life once. Don't live it in a boring way. Do stuff. Do things. I became an English teacher because I spoke perfect English. Yeah. If I hadn't spoken 46 years ago, if I hadn't spoken perfect English, I wouldn't have become an English teacher. I married my wife because I loved her. If I hadn't loved her, I wouldn't have married her. Adolf Hitler lost the war because he invaded the Soviet Union. If he hadn't invaded the Soviet Union, he wouldn't have lost the war, maybe. It's interesting that if Hitler hadn't invaded the Soviet Union, though the Second World War would have lasted until 1950, and Hitler would have had time to develop the atomic bomb. He made the mistake of invading the Soviet Union. Thank God. Otherwise, I have my doubts that the United States would have entered the war. However, because the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, well, the U.S. entered the war. But it would have been virtually impossible, practically impossible, to defeat Germany only from the West. Germany was defeated from the East, not from the West. The only thing from the West that really helped the East, the Soviets, were the bombings of Germany. German factories, German communication routes, and German cities, of course, that destroyed the morale of the German people. But 90% of all of the German soldiers were stationed on the Eastern Front, together with the Spanish Blue Division, the equivalent Italian Division, the Romanians. There were a lot of different nationalities along the Eastern Front against the Red Army. But they couldn't defeat. The Red Army defeated them quite handily, finally, after Stalingrad. Stalingrad was a turning point, and Kursk was a turning point. And then it was quick. From the winter of 1943 until the spring of 1945. So basically all of 43 and 44, two and a half years later, a little less, 2 years and 3 months, the war was over. And 90% of the German troops were posted or stationed on the Eastern Front. And it was nasty. Yeah. It was a do or die. It was a really, really nasty war on the Eastern Front. 20 million Russians died during the Second World War. And 20 million Russians died in a period from 1941, from June 1941 or July. Cricket, who knew? June 1941. Until May 1945. So in 3 years and 11 months, 20 million Russians died. Well, Russians, Belorussians, and Ukrainians, eh? And Lithuanians. At that time, Ukraine, Belarus, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, all of these countries today were part of the Soviet Union. And so 20 million of these people died. Soviets. It's incredible. Whereas on the other side, it was very, very, comparatively very low. The British soldiers, American soldiers, French partisans or French resistance fighters, very few French soldiers died because France was invaded and taken very quickly by the German Blitzkrieg. By the German offensive in France, passing through the Ardennes. El alto mando francés decía, no, es imposible, que no, no, mienten, no saben lo que dicen. Because what happened was the German high command, el alto mando, high command, decided to penetrate France through the Ardennes, en los bosques. It's very difficult to do that. And the initial reports of the Avanzadilla Francesa, of the advanced French forces was they're coming through the Ardennes. And in Paris, the high command said, that's impossible. That's impossible. La soberbia. La soberbia te mata. La soberbia es ceguera total. And so they didn't believe them. And then when it was proven to be true, it was too late. It was too late. And so Germany took France in a question of 3 weeks. It was very, very quick. Very embarrassing for the French when the Germans entered Paris, of course. And Adolf Hitler went to visit Paris, standing under the Eiffel Tower, standing in the Campo de Marte, across the, standing in the Campos Elíseos, the Champs-Élysées, and standing in, along the Seine River. There was Hitler. And it's because the French High Command didn't believe, they refused to believe their own operatives, their own troops, their own spies. Because that's impossible. All right. But let's go on. Franco died in 1975 because he was very old. If he hadn't been so old, he probably wouldn't have died in 1975. Yes. Christopher Columbus discovered America because he had funding from Spain. Funding means money. Means if he hadn't had funding, if he hadn't had money from Spain, Ferdinand and Isabella, he wouldn't have discovered the New World. God punished Cain because Cain killed his brother. If Cain hadn't killed his brother, God wouldn't have punished him. He wouldn't have punished him if he had, if he hadn't killed his brother. Noah built the ark because God told him it was going to rain. God said, Noah, it's going to rain. Really? Well, that's nothing new. So what? So what means, bueno, ¿y qué? So what? So what is, ¿y qué? God, Dios dice, Noé, va a llover. Bueno, ¿y qué? Normal. Well, so what? And then God said, well, it's not going to rain like you're used to seeing. It's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights, nonstop. Nonstop. And Noah said, wow, that's a lot of rain. Wow. And he said, well, Noah, I want you to build an ark to be able to survive the 40 days and 40 nights of rain. And he said, well, how? And it's interesting that in Genesis, el libro de Genesis de la Biblia, God gives Noah the measurements and everything, the instructions, the specifications. Because Noah said, necesito unas especificaciones. I need some specs. And God gave him the specs. Curioso, the engineers, los ingenieros para construir una máquina o lo que sea, necesita especificaciones. The specifications. Specifications. In English, it starts with an S. But they usually say the specs. Para abreviar. Specification is 5 syllables. The specifications, 5 syllables. So, the engineers reduce it to 1 syllable. The specs. I need the specs. And God gave Noah the specs on building the ark. And if God hadn't chosen Noah to build the ark, he would have needed to find another person. Moses took the Jews to Israel because they weren't happy in Egypt. Yes. If they had been happy, if the Jews had been happy in Israel, Moses wouldn't have been able to convince them. Can you imagine Moses saying, I'm going to take you to the promised land. And the Jews say, "Toodoo, that's you go. We're happy here." So if the Jews had been happy in Israel, in Egypt, Moses wouldn't have been able to take them to the promised land, to Israel. I began teaching English in 1974 because I needed money. Yeah. If I hadn't needed money, I wouldn't have begun teaching English. I didn't buy a yacht last year, by the way, because I didn't win the lottery. If I had won the lottery, I would have bought a yacht. Not true. I didn't kill my boss yesterday because I didn't have a gun. If I had had a gun, I would have killed my boss. Not true either. Philip Johnson, didn't fight in the Vietnam War because he wasn't old enough. If he had been old enough, he would have fought in the Vietnam War. All right, I'll be right back.
Ven a una masterclass de Richard Vaughan el 27 de febrero a las 18:30 horas en Barcelona, en la Casa del Libro de Rambla Cataluña 37. Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/eventos. Entrada gratuita. Si aún andas con dudas, llámanos. Conoce tu nivel de inglés. 911-335833. ¿Estás preparado para el máster en inglés profesional? Llámanos y conoce tu nivel. 911-335833.
¿Cómo tú ves tanta pasión en lo que hacen, tanta dedicación? Porque luego tienes, a lo largo del máster, tienes feedbacks con ellos. Y ellos te dicen exactamente cuáles son tus puntos débiles, cuáles son tus fortalezas, cuáles son tus weaknesses, debilidades, ¿no? ¿Sabes? Y cuando ves a alguien que hace con tanta pasión algo, no te viene tan natural decepcionarle. Porque si tú ves a alguien que da el 100%, a mí por lo menos no me viene como decepcionarte así. Es una cuestión de respeto que luego se desarrolla y se ve también con los compañeros. Cuando, sobre todo en un método tan dinámico, tan drilling class, pam, 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 maravilloso.
La motivación desde el primer minuto hasta el último es un factor importante, pero no el único. La excelencia de nuestros profesores, nuestros maestros de toda la vida, esos que hacían que el resto de tu vida sintieses verdadera pasión por aquella asignatura. Así son nuestros profesores del Máster en Inglés Profesional. ¿Por qué no llamas? ¿Vas a perder esta oportunidad? 911-33-5833. 911-33-5833. Llama y solicita gratis tu prueba de nivel. 911-33-5833.
¿Te sientes orgulloso de ti mismo? Porque tú lo puedes hacer.
Con el Máster en Inglés Profesional puedes conseguir lo que quieras. Tú lo puedes hacer.
Campamentos de inglés sin salir de España. Tus hijos hablarán inglés divirtiéndose, siempre acompañados de nuestros monitores Vaughan. Realizarán talleres, actividades, veladas nocturnas y todo ello en inglés. 91-133-5832.
Del 4 al 8 de marzo se celebra el Salón Internacional del Estudiante y de la Oferta Educativa. Y la Embajada de los Estados Unidos está por primera vez en aula. Y tenemos la enorme suerte de ser sus invitados. Por eso Vaughan Radio estará presente los días 4, 5 y 6 de marzo con un especial con Alberto Alonso. Estarán con nosotros un montón de invitados que nos acompañarán durante estas horas divertidas, didácticas, con mucha energía positiva y llena de sorpresas. Te esperamos del 4 al 6 de marzo de 10:30 a 12:30 de la mañana en aula, en Feria de Madrid, en el stand de la Embajada de los Estados Unidos.
Vaughan Empresas es mucho más que clases de inglés para empresas.
Mucho más.
Tenemos varios tipos de cursos a vuestra disposición, como nuestros cursos in company, con profesores que se desplazan a vuestra empresa para dar allí las clases en el horario que acordéis con ellos.
Nuestras clases online y telefónicas con varios niveles y temáticas disponibles. ¿Buscas un curso que se adapte a las necesidades de los empleados? Entonces buscas Vaughan Empresas.
Infórmate ya en el 911-133-5831 o en grupovaughan.com.
Si necesitas mejorar tu inglés sin perder el tiempo, con un método que realmente funciona, hazte con uno de nuestros cursos trimestrales. Infórmate sin compromiso en el 911-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
You're listening
listening to Richard Vaughn Live.
Hello, welcome back to our second half hour. All right, don't forget on Saturday, the day after tomorrow, pasado mañana, I am in Las Tablas, in the northern part of Madrid, in the Colegio Estudiantes Calle Fromista, número uno. And you can find information, it's free, gratis, y entrada libre. But sign up for it so we can accommodate you better. And so you go into grupovagun.com/eventos, desplázate hacia abajo, y verás. And there you can sign up for it. But it's free. You have to pay a penny. And I'll be it's a master class. Basically, I'll be talking about the English learning process for adults and for children. Okay, let's go on. Yes, I came here this morning because it's a working day. If it weren't a working day, I wouldn't have come here this morning. Aquí mezclo third conditional and second conditional. Vine esta mañana porque hoy es día laborable. Si no fuera día laborable, yo no habría venido esta mañana. Yes, if today weren't a working day, weren't. No digamos weren't. Weren't. Una sola sílaba. Aren't. Weren't. Aren't. Weren't. No aren't ni weren't. Aren't and weren't. If today weren't a working day, I wouldn't be here right now. I would be up, for sure. If today were Saturday, if a day were a holiday, if today were a holiday, I think I would be up right now. It's 3 minutes past eight. It's 8:03. It's 8:03. Un americano jamás diría it's 3 minutes past eight. We'd say it's 8:03. The Brits probably still say three minutes past. Yes. And I would be up, I'm sure. I would be reading a book or surfing the web. Navegando por el ciberespacio. I would be doing something like that. Yes. But in any case, let's go on. How long does it take to make an orange juice? Well, it depends. Yes. If your juicer is already out on the counter, on the kitchen counter, plugged in and ready for use, then all you have to do is to get a couple of oranges from the refrigerator or from wherever, cut them in half, and then squeeze them on the juicer. The juicer is el que hace el jugo, o el zumo de naranja. But if the juicer is located in the kitchen cabinet, you have to open the cabinet, bend down, get it out, place it on the kitchen counter, plug it in, and then open the refrigerator, get two oranges, and then cut them, get a kitchen knife, cut the oranges into two separate halves. You have four half oranges, and then you squeeze them. It would take double the time. Don't forget to put a glass. Otherwise, the orange juice will come out onto the kitchen counter. Don't forget to put the glass there. Occasionally, I have a coffee maker in my office. And maybe twice a year, I put in the coffee cartridge, el cartucho, and things, but I forget to put the cup. Cup is un vaso de plástico de papel. We say cup. And I forget, and so I push the button, the coffee starts falling. And so I realize, oh my God, I forgot the cup. But that happens maybe once a year when I'm distracted. But the orange juice. So, this is difficult English, eh? Decir esto en inglés es un reto. Listen. If you want to, how long does it take to make an orange juice? Well, it depends. If the juicer is already out on the kitchen counter, ¿por qué digo out? ¿Por qué no si? If the juicer's already on the kitchen counter, también nos vale. ¿Y por qué he dicho out on? Porque en inglés entendemos si está en la encimera, se ha sacado de donde estaba antes, quizás en un armario de la cocina, y se ha colocado. A no ser que esté siempre colocado. Which could be. So, if the juicer is permanently on the kitchen counter, and it's already plugged in, then all you need to do is to get two oranges, cut them in half with a kitchen knife or a normal knife. Well, you need a sharp knife, like a steak knife. Steak knife is un cuchillo para carne. Por lo menos en USA, en Estados Unidos. At least in the U.S. we say a steak knife. A steak knife. I don't know if they say that in the U.K. A steak knife. I'm never sure. Steak knife. Steak knife. Let's see if I can find it. Steak, pepper steak, minute steak, ham steak, flank steak. My God. Arrachera mexicana. Ooh, qué bueno. Bife de falda in Argentina. All right. Porterhouse steak, chuletón. Prime steak, solomillo. All right. But I can't find... I hear the steak knife. Cuchillo carnicero. Cuchillo carnicero. Cuchillo de cocina. No. Well, okay. Cuchillo para carnes. That's a steak knife. Steak knife. But again, I don't know if that's a U.S. only or U.S. and U.K. So if you want to make an orange juice, you need, I would say, two oranges is enough, don't you? Two oranges. And of course you need to cut them in half. And then you need to take one half, place it on the orange, on the juicer, and usually you need to press down. If it's electric, and it goes bzzz, and you start making orange juice. Yes, sir. The problem with orange juice is that the pulp, la pulpa, se dice también en inglés, pulp. The pulp, is usually not also included in the juice, so you only drink the juice. Now, if you have... What do you call them? I can't remember how to call these. That you just put the orange into the machine and then you have the pulp as well, which a lot of experts say is better. All right. More fiber, etc. Making orange juice. How long does it take? Well, it takes a minute to make an orange juice. How long does it take to make a dress? I don't know. I'm not a modisto. I'm not a... ¿Cómo se dice modisto? Modista. It's funny about the word modisto. I don't know how to say it. Modista, yes, is a seamstress. A seamstress. But modisto? Es una palabra rara, modisto. Dressmaker. Okay. Couturier. It's a French word. Dressmaker. Modisto. It's really strange. I think this is the only exception in the Spanish language. Otherwise, it's ista, siempre. You don't say periodista, ciclista, columnista. You say columnista. For men and for male and for female. So modisto is a strange exception. I wonder if the word modisto was common 50 years ago or 100 years ago in Spain. I wonder if they said, oh, un modista. Manolo es un modista. Es modista. Es periodista. Es ciclista. Es whatever. If we can find out, palabras... palabras que terminan en isto. A ver cuántos hay. Opisto, episto a la Biblia, inopisto. 23 palabras. Okay. 23 words. Let's see if we can find the words. Anticristo. All right, Cristo. Evaristo. All right, but this is un entrevisto. Ah, entrevisto. That's correct. Del verbo entrever. Yo entrevisto algunos problemas aquí. I've never heard a person use that word, but it's true. It's true. Isto. All right. But there are very few words that end in isto. Very, very few. And I can't find any. Conquisto de conquistar. But this is not a word. This is a conjugation of a verb. Really, we don't say istos. Yo subsisto. De subsistir. Previsto. Ah, eso sí. Está previsto. Pero previsto es de prever. De verbo prever. Rechisto. Sin rechistar. Es curioso. No sé. Yo rechisto. You just don't hear these words very often. You don't hear them. Coexisto. This is coexistir. Existo. So really, modisto es la única palabra normal. Un modisto. That's the only, I think that's a mistake in Spanish that has been probably penetrated into the language in the last 60 or 70 years. It's the only noun. I'm looking at a list of istos. Yo asisto. Chisto. Avisto. Existo. But these are all verbs, conjugations. Embisto de embestir. And so the only noun I can find is modisto. And so I think it's a episto, pisto a la Navarra, a food, that yes. Those are the only two normal nouns I can find with isto. So pisto, yes, but modisto, I think, is a mistake. Okay. But how long does it take to make a dress? I don't know. But I imagine if you work on the dress exclusively, perhaps it takes one day to make a dress. But I'm guessing. I'm completely guessing. To make a guess, it's not even an educated guess. It's a wild guess. There are two types of guesses. Se dice mucho más adivinar o una adivinanza. Se dice mucho en inglés. Guess. De hecho, se dice, guess what? This is a very common expression. For example, if I see Richard Brown, I say, hey, Richard, guess what? He says, what? Te voy a ascender. I'm going to promote you. Guess what? And I don't know how to translate that, but we use it all the time in English. Guess what? Adivina qué? No, qué? Aquí no sabes lo que te voy a decir. Pues no. Well, guess. No, well, tell me. Well, guess. I have no idea. All right. Guess what? Guess what? Now to guess. And we have two types of guesses in English. Guess. Wild guesses and educated guesses. You know, if you tell me, how many people, what's the population of, I don't know, what's the population of Bhutan? Oh, hell if I know. Hell if I know, yo qué diablo sé. Hell is infierno. Infierno si yo sé. Hell if I know. Hell if I know means, yo qué, no sé qué sé. Yo qué diablo sé. Hell if I know. What's the population of Bhutan? Said, well, make a guess. Bhutan. All right. Bhutan is a kingdom or a principality. Principado. Strange, relatively closed society. In the Himalayas, immediately to the east of Nepal, and located between India and China. The province of Tibet. Now, the population. I have no idea, but I'm going to make a wild guess. Or I could say an educated guess, given the size of the country. Dado el tamaño físico del país. So I'm going to make an educated guess here. I would say 3 million people. No, that's too high. 1 million people. Okay. Well, now it's a wild guess. I mean, I changed from 3 million to 1 million. That's a wild guess. So let's look it up. Let's look it up. Busquémoslo. Bhutan. B-H-U-T-A. B-H-U-T-A-N. Bhutan. All right. Let's find out. The Kingdom of Bhutan. I said 1 million. Population 742,000. And I wasn't too far off. I wasn't too far off. No estaba demasiado alejado. But really, it was a wild guess. It wasn't an it was a fairly educated guess because I knew, I mean, it's small. I mean, the total square kilometers is 38,000 square kilometers. So it's la mitad de Castilla-La Mancha, for example. 38,000 kilometers, square kilometers. Let's see. Badajoz is the biggest. The province of Badajoz is the biggest province in Spain, in area. Let's see if it's bigger than Bhutan. It's smaller. 22,000. And Bhutan is 38,000. So, the three biggest provinces in Spain in area are Badajoz first, Cáceres second, and Ciudad Real third. And all three share common borders. Badajoz shares a common border in the north with Cáceres, and it shares a common border with Ciudad Real in the southwest. Excuse me, in the southeast. In the southeast. And these provinces are not famous for tourism, although these provinces have a lot of very interesting places for tourism. But they're not the most popular destination. Probably in Cáceres, the most interesting site, the most interesting place for tourism in Cáceres, probably is Trujillo, the town of Trujillo. The second most interesting place probably is, this is difficult. This is difficult. This is an interesting question. Cáceres, what places? I mean, if I had to give five places, if God said to me, Richard, you have to recommend the five best tourist destinations in the province of Cáceres. Estoy diciendo Cáceres con acento inglés. Cáceres. I would say Trujillo first. Wow. This is tough. Parque de Monfragüe second. Coria third. No, perdona. Trujillo first. Cáceres capital second. The old part, the old city of Cáceres, which is renovated, but it still is very, very interesting. Third, I would say Monfragüe. Fourth, Jarandilla or Jarandilla de la Vera. And fifth, the Valle del Jerte, but only at the end of February. Now, very, very now, practically now, the cuando están flor, los cerezos, the cherry trees. It's incredible. It looks like snow. It's incredible. So I would say the Valle del Jerte only at one time of the year, although it still is very pretty. To drive from Barca de Avila down to Plasencia in Cáceres is a very interesting drive because you go through the Valle del Jerte. But then also you can say the Puente de Alcántara, no? The Puente de Alcántara is a Roman bridge crossing the Tagus. Puente, creo que se llama Puente de Alcántara is a Roman bridge that crosses the Tagus. El Tajo. El Puente Alcántara is a Roman arch bridge. Ah, perdona. I'm making a mistake. El puente de Alcántara is in Toledo. ¿Cómo se llama el puente famoso de... A puente? En puente... Oh, what's the name of it? Puente en Cáceres. In Portugal. What's the name of that puente romano? What is it called? Puente Alcántara. Just a second. Okay. El puente de Alcántara es un puente romano, en arco, construido entre los años 103 y 104 por los romanos, que cruza el Tajo en la localidad española de Alcántara, provincia de Cáceres. Ya lo decía yo. Pero en Wikipedia inglés dice que está en Toledo. Yeah. That may be the puente de Alcántara. Maybe there are two puentes de Alcántaras. This is something new for me. So if somebody's expert on this, you can tell me. Okay, there are two puentes de Alcántara. Mira tú. One is in Toledo, and the other is in Alcántara. Oh, at least that's what I'm seeing here. All right, and both are Roman bridges. Both are Roman bridges. So, but if you, in any case, Cáceres is a very interesting province, by the way, for, tourism. It's very interesting. Trujillo is a very interesting town. If you've never been to Trujillo, you need to go. Also, Guadalupe is in, I think Guadalupe is in Cáceres. Or is it in Badajoz? Yeah. No, Guadalupe. And it's very interesting too. Guadalupe, Cáceres, yes. So Guadalupe is also very interesting. Navalmoral de la Mata is very interesting. Talayuela is interesting. there are a lot of interesting places in, oh, Madrigal de la Vera. Jarandilla, Jaray de la Vera, Yuste, Monasterio de Yuste, Coria, and of course, going up to the area of Las Urdes, which was very famous for its poverty, but now it is, life is much better in Las Urdes now, up in Descarga María, up in that area. So, you know, Casa, you can spend a month in Cáceres and not exhaust the possibilities for interesting tourism. I would spend 2 or 3 days in, well, I would spend 2 days in Trujillo is enough. 2 days in the capital, in Cáceres. 2 days in Coria. And in the La Vera, in la zona de La Vera. Plasencia is a very interesting town as well. And then the Jerte, the, everywhere you go in Cáceres, it's interesting. And then in Badajoz as well. Mérida, of course. Guadalupe in Cáceres is very interesting. However, well, that's very interesting. It takes forever to go there. It's the most frustrating route because you need to drive from, if you live in Madrid, you need to drive to Navalmoral de la Mata. Es un poco antes, creo. No, espera, I'm trying to remember. You drive to to Talavera. Then you drive Oropesa, La Lagartera, and then the next stop is Navalmoral de la Mata. And I can't, and then after that, Albaraz, after Navalmoral. And then, I think after Albaraz, or just before Navalmoral de la Mata, you need to turn south. And you need to drive for 1 hour on a very bad highway. And a very winding road to reach Guadalupe. Yes. Now, I recommend you take the time to do it. Because Guadalupe is very interesting. El Real Monasterio de Santa María de no sé qué. Santa María de Guadalupe. El Real Monasterio de Santa María de Guadalupe. And this is where the conquistadors from Extremadura, maybe half of all the conquistadors who went to the New World were from Extremadura, or more. And when they returned to Extremadura, many of them, the first thing they did was to go to the Royal Monastery of Santa Maria de Guadalupe to give thanks for the fact that they were able to go and to return safely. And so they gave thanks to the Virgin of Guadalupe. And as you know, the first important church built in the New World, important, is La Virgen de Guadalupe, Iglesia Guadalupe in Mexico City. Yes, the Guadalupe, Ciudad de México. And so you have the very famous church, La Basílica Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, in Mexico, Mexico City. It's based on the Guadalupe in Cáceres. And most Spanish people who travel around Spain have never been to Guadalupe. And so you should go. Cáceres offers a lot. I don't know why I'm talking so well about Cáceres, but it's every province in Spain offers very interesting opportunities for tourism. All right, I'll be back. Don't go away.
Los cursos trimestrales de Vaughan son ideales para gente que necesita resultados a medio plazo y a un precio asequible. Descúbrelos en grupovaughan.com.
Este verano, apúntelos a un campamento en el que se divierten de verdad. Apúntelos a un campamento de inglés Vaughan. Tenemos un montón de opciones. Campamentos en plena naturaleza, campamentos multiaventura y mucho más. Y todo en inglés. Y para todas las edades. Llámanos.
91-133-5832. O si lo prefieres, ven a la calle Orense 69, primera planta. O a la calle Arapiles 18. Ven a una masterclass de Richard Vaughan el 27 de febrero a las 18:30 horas en Barcelona, en la Casa del Libro de Rambla Cataluña 37. Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/eventos. Entrada gratuita.
Every year, 200,000 new people enter the labor market looking for their first job. Are you one of them right now? Will you be one of them next year? How's your English? If it's not peachy keen, if it's not fine and dandy, if it's not top-notch, if it's not drop-dead stunning, then you have a problem, my friend, and you need to do something, and fast. Do you really expect to move up and to get ahead in this cutthroat world without English? Are you a starry-eyed dreamer or what? Come see us at Vaughan and let us show you what the Master in Inglés Profesional can do for you. Our MEEP. We'll set you up to impress. We'll groom you to shine. We'll place you at the starting line, ahead of all the rest. The Master in Professional English, Vaughan Systems. Come in and see us now.
El MEEP, o Máster en Inglés Profesional, está diseñado para los alumnos más exigentes, para aquellos cuyo futuro profesional requiere un alto nivel de inglés hablado y escrito, para aquellos que están dispuestos a ponerse en serio con el inglés con dedicación exclusiva. Se trata de un programa intensivo de 5 meses de duración que, al finalizar, el alumno habrá estado en contacto con el inglés durante más de 1,000 horas, repartidas entre clases presenciales, horas de estudio y horas de inmersión en Vaughan Town. Y recuerda que tienes una prueba de nivel gratuita para determinar tu nivel de inglés oral y escrito. Llámanos ahora al 911-335833. 911-335833.
Tus hijos no saben que les encanta el inglés hasta que los traigas a Vaughan. Tus hijos van a descubrir que el inglés es su asignatura favorita gracias a los cursos intensivos de nuestra línea Junior. ¿Por qué? Porque nuestras clases no son clases de academia al uso. Nada de ejercicios aburridos. Las clases de Vaughan para niños son clases divertidas en las que hablan inglés todo el rato y además lo pasan de maravilla. Apúntales a unas clases de inglés que les encantarán. Apúntalos a los intensivos de Vaughan Junior. Más información en el 911-133-5832 o en grupovaughan.com.
Seguro que llevas mucho tiempo escuchando, oyendo sobre los másters de Vaughan. ¿Te gustaría chatear con nosotros? Tienes la oportunidad de hacerlo con nuestro creador de profesores y el tuyo todas las mañanas, con Fitz. También con una exalumna. Y, por supuesto, un profesor actual del máster. Y decimos chatear porque te esperamos este jueves a las 16 horas en directo a través de Facebook Live. Pero también podrás escucharlo en FM, en nuestra red de emisoras asociadas, TDT Radio, Internet y tu aplicación de Vaughan Radio. Pero lo importante, participa en el chat este jueves a las 16.